Blog Talk Radio.
Let her go, Chadwick. Turn up your radio. Bail the whiskey and drink it down slow. It's Whiskey Bant in the pit. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't shit outlaw barbecue show. He's an all-night smoker, a cold beer holder. His spare ribs will blow your mind. And with his Cosmos Q and his Green Mountain Grill, he'll walk the stage every time. Turn on your radio, crack a beer, Chad's ready to go. It's Whiskey Ben in the pit all night, late night. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't right. Outlaw Barbecue Show. Whiskey Ben in the pit radio show. Good for the egg shakes and saggy. Can I get a raise? Hell, come on.
Woo. All right, ladies and gentlemen. That was the Dorsey O'Dell. Tried to put me out of a job last week. Coming on, hosting that first segment, but always good to have Dorsey bring us in. I love that song. It sure is good. Lunatic Fringe was a favorite, but and Lunatic Fringe, I got shit on that. So, awesome. Thanks, Dorsey. Anyway, welcome. February 12th, 2013, Tuesday night, Whiskey and Barbecue in the Pit. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. Good little chat crowd for early in the evening. Looks like people that aren't in chat but listening is a pretty good number so far, too, so... Didn't scare anybody off last week after 3 weeks off, so good to have you back. Last week, we had first segment was myself and Jared Hatcher, Whiskey Bun Barbecue, being interviewed by Papa Clark and Dorsey O'Dell. Good segment. Loved it. Really enjoyed it. And think some of that karma or good luck from the In the Pit radio show helped those boys out as they took a Reserve Grand Championship in Apopka this weekend. Talk more about that in a second. Jimmy Brode, Everglades Seasoning Team, Barbecue Team came in, talked about their new rub, which I believe won them a first-place chicken in Apopka also. And then we had the show with Robbie Royal, came on, talked about his FBA contest in Ashburn, and I also just talked to a bunch of MBN. You guys know I'm always a sucker for that because I really don't know much about it. So when somebody comes on the show that has a pretty deep knowledge in it, I can't seem to get away from it. And this week, we have a good lineup. We're going to start with everybody's favorite grill master, Michael McDearman from Get Fired Up Foods. Michael, we probably talked a couple of months ago about this new product, Kestern product he had an idea of to improve competition chicken. And, it was probably September. Michael can probably correct me. His memory is probably better than mine. But I think September we... kind of had some talks about it, and he told me what he was thinking. I was like, man, I think it's out of this park. So FedEx showed up the other day, and I got it here to me, and I had a chance to play with it a little bit this weekend. And I think it's I definitely think it's going to change the way a lot of people cook competition chicken. It's going to save people a whole lot of time, on prep, a.k.a. scraping skin. So stay around for that. And then Michael's got a couple other announcements, and plus, man, he's just always good to have on the show. I mean, worst comes to worst, we run out of barbecue stuff to talk about. We can talk about Florida and Tennessee's recruiting classes from signing day the other day. Second on the show tonight, first time guest on the show, Shannon Duncan from he's the organizer for the Wingin' It Festival here in Winter Haven, Florida. So second year contest, I believe there's three categories: a wet, a dry, and open division, all chicken wings. Man, just a great contest, ton of activities, concert. So Shannon's going to come on and talk to us a little bit about that contest. Obviously, if you're local, it's something you should definitely consider. I know we're in, Rob Bagby, Swamp Boys, you're defending Wingin' It Festival, inaugural champion. Imagine that, shocker. But I know a lot of the pro teams, a lot of the backyard teams cooked it last year, just raved about it, had a great time. So Shannon's going to come on, spend a little time with us, talk about the event. The organization that it's benefiting, et cetera. So it'll be good to have him on. I've had a chance to talk to him a couple times at some of the last competitions at Winter Haven, then at Lakeland. And he's just really excited. And I think it's just a really, really cool event they have going on. And I'm excited that it's an opening for us that weekend that we can jump in there and participate. Then we're going to close out the show with Jeff Campbell of Wicked Q. Jeff, Reserve Grand Champion here in Lakeland a couple weeks ago, also doing some things with his line of barbecue rubs. Speaking of rub bagging, apparently just announced his sponsorship by Wicked Q Barbecue Barbecue Rubs. So we'll talk to Jeff a little bit about his rub line, but also what we want to talk about is this charcoal that he handed off to me, this Basque sugar maple charcoal that I heard just by my sister up to the north, Diva Q. She's raved about it. She's used it for years, and Jeff provided us with a bag to try out after Lakeland, and boy, was I impressed. So we're going to talk more about that when we close out the show with Jeff Campbell. So a couple of things since the show last week. We talked at the beginning of the show about me and Greg Rempe, a bet that I had lost, and Greg saying I was welching. So, you know, I obviously told him, you know, look, you know, I'll cut the goatee off. That's part of the agreement. And I went over to listen to his show like I usually do after this show was concluded. And, man, there was no love. You know, Greg was just laying the welcher stuff on thick. He was really beating me up and breaking me. And so I said, look, if you got an open segment, we'll go ahead and take care of it right here on your show tonight. So the wife was home. She wasn't working. And so that's what happened. We took it all the way down clean shaven at on Greg's show. Probably been two and a half years since I've had the old clean shaven face. And I hate it. It sucks. But we got a little bit of stubble in the first week growing in. Shouldn't take too long. My goal is hopefully a month to 6 weeks. We should have some pretty decent length to it, and we should be back to where we were at. So you guys that see me in Tampa this weekend, don't give me too much of a hard time about my stubble. I look like a 12th grader trying to grow out his first goatee, but it was good. Greg was awesome sport about it. It was a lot of fun. If you're going to lose a bet and you got to pay up, it was a cool way to do it. So appreciate Rempe letting me get caught up on that. Another thing I want to bring up is I've had a couple of calls about the contest Jared and I are helping out with in April for Kids Pack. I believe it should all get signed off on. We're actually going to move that contest back to the second weekend of September. There's a couple other things going on the weekend before and the weekend of here in Lakeland that kind of made it hard for corporate sponsorship money. For us to be able to guarantee the payouts that we wanted and this and that. Some events that had already been scheduled beforehand, not specifically barbecue, but community events where a lot of the bigger companies in the city had already pulled their funds towards those. So we kind of talked about it, stepped back and said, you know what, let's punt. Let's do it the weekend after Labor Day. We're going to be able to tie it into back to school, so kind of for the kids, which will be nice. And it'll give us some time to kind of get ready. You know, make sure we've got all the funds lined up. And it may actually increase the prize pool a little bit because it's given us more time to gather more money. Doug, it'll be the second weekend of September, the weekend after Labor Day. So the weekend after the fun cook. Hopefully that'll be up. Even though it's going to be in September, hopefully it'll change on the FBA website here in the next couple of days. And then we'll also make sure we have the application stuff up so you guys can go ahead and get signed up early and get it on your calendar. So there's an update there. Cool thing for us as far as the team this weekend or this week, we're going to go up and cook the Pensacola KCBS contest. Always been wanted to. You know, my sister-in-law, Elizabeth, plays softball up there at UWF. And I've always wanted to cook it. You know, you hear Barry from Swiggin' Pig and Mike from Chick Swine and Bovine always talk about that contest. Always talk about how good a contest it is. It's right there kind of in the old downtown of Pensacola. And so Ivan had asked a couple times if we were going to come up, and it just didn't work out with the schedule. But the schedule loosened up a little bit. So Jared can't make it. So myself and Adam Norman from Southern Bread Smokers are going to load up the SBS trailer unit and head up there and call us. So that's the first week of March, I think the first and second. So wish us luck. We'll be talking more about that as that comes up, but definitely looking forward to getting to cook that contest. Before we go into the recap of the results for this weekend, or for last weekend, let's talk a little bit about upcoming this weekend, Sam's Club Tampa. So I'm going to go ahead and be honest with you. Pretty damn disappointed in the state of Florida that we only got 24 teams signed up for Sam's Club this weekend. The one thing I'm going to tell you guys is when next year the Sam's Club schedule comes out and we don't have a Florida event, we've got nobody to blame but ourselves. You know, they gave us two last year. We didn't come damn near filling either one of them up. They give us one this year. We don't fill it up. Don't get me wrong. I understand. There's things that Sam's Club and the scheduling committee could do. They could not schedule it on the weekend of a FBA contest. I get that. The regional could be closer. It could be a little bit later in the year because we're so busy down here this time of year. Okay, whatever the case. I'm just saying that next year when we all have to pile up and go to South Alabama or middle of Georgia or wherever to qualify for Sam's Club, can't nobody gripe about it because Sam's Club is now 3 years straight giving us a nice Central Florida contest that all we needed to do was give them 30 teams, and out of those four contests in 3 years, we only had a full field 1 year, and that was Orlando the first year. So it's just something that, you know, as someone that, and I don't know why we like to go back and cook it every year. We haven't qualified out of the local the last 2 years, but I think it's a great tournament. I think it's awesome to see that big of a company throwing a half a million dollars out towards the barbecue community. And dude, I mean, out of 31 local events, I think we're one of three that couldn't sell out. And the other ones are like Lexington and Albuquerque. I mean, that's just ridiculous. You know, and I just don't get it. I even wish, and I know some of the teams said, well, I'm not cooking in the local because I don't know if I'll go to regionals. I still wish teams would have came out and cooked it. I mean, $250 entry fee and it pays out $10,000. That's pretty good numbers in a 30-team field as far as payback goes. So just disappointed. It cut off at 24. You know, we couldn't get to that 30, and I just think next year when it comes to making tough decisions, I would not be surprised to see Florida get the Knicks on any Sam's Club qualifiers, and we'll have to go out of state to cook one. Hell, maybe Puerto Rico will get one, and we can all go down to Puerto Rico and cook on some you know, dig some holes in the parking lot and cook down there or something. I don't know. But I just think things because I definitely think we're at jeopardy of losing out here. And I know Rob Bagby had a good post about it. And I think Troy Black and the Sam's Club guys want to be you know they want to know what's the issue. Did they do something wrong or why aren't we getting why aren't they getting it filled up? And I know there's some different things, but you know. I still think for as many cook teams as we have in Central Florida, not to get 30 because it sucks. So I'll quit beating that dead horse. I apologize, but just a little rant that I had. With that being said, let's go over to the results from last weekend. I'm going to start out with KCBS. You had the Young Harris, I believe. Georgia Barbecue. Yeah, Georgia Barbecue Championship Throwdown, GBC Qualifier, Young Harris, Georgia. Before we get into that, congratulations to Bubba Latimer. He was recognized as 2012 Georgia Barbecue Championship Team of the Year and kind of that little KCBS circuit they have there in Georgia. So congratulations to Bubba on that. The Young Harris contest this weekend, your top 10 Smoke Me Silly, winning by about a point and a half over Warren County Pork Choppers. Third was a BS Pitmeister. Fourth, Parrot Head Smokers. Fifth, Uncultured Swine. Six, Q and Stewing and Brewing, which I believe they're cooking. That's the other thing. Sorry to get back on my rant. Out of the 24 teams, shit, like four or six of them are out-of-town teams. You got Three Eyes Barbecue. You got Q and Stewing and Brewing. You got the Blue Bloods. You've got four teams that I know of that are out-of-towners. So, I mean, really, if we look at it and we want to say the Florida teams or the FBA teams or the teams that cook regularly in Florida – hell, there's barely 20 of us that are cooking Sam's Club qualifier. All right, seriously, I am done at this point with the rant. You guys know I don't rant much, but this one's particularly emotional to me. Seventh, Superior Smokers. Eighth, Porkalypse Now. Ninth, Soggy Bottom Smokers. And tenth, Smoke on This. Your category wins go to Diggin' QGA on Chicken, 177.1. Ribs, Superior Smokers, 174.2. Pork, Porkalypse Now, very fitting, 177.1. And Brisket, Smoke Me Silly, your GC, with a 176.5. So that is that was the KCBS contest last weekend. And as far as contest this weekend, the only one on the KCBS is we've got the Sam's Club, and then we've got the Chubby Hubby Barbecue Bash. Real quick, I got to clear this up in my head. Let me come over here. Teams, Tampa, Florida, 24 teams. Q and Stewen and Bruins for sure, an out-of-town team. The Blue Bloods are surely out of town. Three Eyes are surely out of town. Okay, so maybe we do have 20, what I would call, quote-unquote, local teams. But anyway, and I'm sure all you guys are going to give me hell Friday night at the contest for beating this up that bad. But, okay, I'm done. I'm seriously done. Let's go over to FBA and talk about the first year, from what I hear from everybody, ravingly successful contest, and that was the Old Florida Outdoor Festival and Barbecue Contest. So Chuck and his team over there at the Old Florida Outdoor Festival, this old Outdoor Festival, I think, has been around 17 years, I want to say, plus or minus a couple, and this is the first year they added barbecue. They had a great turnout, I believe 49 pro teams, 47 of those turning in, you know, all four categories. So great turnout, huge turnout. But, I mean, good stuff. I mean, had free beer for the cook teams all weekend. Great sights. Tickets to Lone Star on Friday night. Tickets to Gary Allen on Saturday night. Just a real, real first-class organization and contest. I know we'll definitely have it on the schedule for next year. As far as your contest winner there, Jack's Old South, Myron and Michael cooking together this weekend. They got 200 in pork, there have been more recently, but you usually don't see a whole hell of a lot of perfect scores in the FBA. I think that makes 8 maybe for the history of the FBA, and that may even be high. But yeah, they got 200 pork. They beat our buddies Unknown Barbecue by a half a point. Big props to Papa Clark for dialing that chicken in this weekend. Second place chicken to Papa Clark. So ribs were strong for Unknown, 192. Pork, 187. Brisket, 189. It's weird because Jacksonville South won pork, obviously, with the perfect score. Then their brisket was a 198. Where they left the door open for Unknown a little bit was in chicken. They scored a 173, but still ended up eking it out by a half a point. But great job to Dorsey, Jason, Papa Clark, and the guys over there. Real, real tough field. And to be that close off the grand, nice payday and a great contest. Congratulations, guys. Third place, Matt Barber, Hot Wachulas. Fourth place, Big Papa's Country Kitchen, Dana. Fifth place, Uncle Kenny's. Sixth place, Blitz Creek Barbecue. Seventh place, Glenn Bob's. Eighth place, Terry McKay, Get Her Smoked. Ninth, Larry Johns, LJ Smoking. And 10th place, Jimmy Brode, Everglades Seasonal Barbecue Team. Your category winners there. Jimmy Brode Chicken, a 194.8 to win chicken there. Ribs, Dana Hillis with a 195. As we know, pork. Jacksonville South not only won pork with a perfect score, but he beat Budmeisters, which just doesn't happen much in FBA. If you can ever find your name on top of Thomas Henry's in the pork category at a contest, who cares how you did the other three categories? Be proud. Be very proud. And then brisket first place, Jack's Old South. All right, guys. We usually don't talk much about the backyard division when it comes to contest, but we're going to talk a little bit about it here. One of the few backyard contests that had a $1,000 grand prize to GC. It was enough money to pull out 17 teams in the backyard. And there was one team that dominated it, won by almost 10 points. It was called 2G's Next Generation Barbecue Crew. And for guys that cook the FBA circuit, you know who these 2G's are. They're Gavin from Blitz Creek and they're Garrett from Sweet Smoke Q. Congratulations, guys. Second, let's break down the score. Okay, GC of the pro division, mind you, Gavin's 13 and Garrett's 16. They just learned from being around. Gavin's learned because he's been in every barbecue trailer that's ever been in a barbecue competition in the FBA. He'll come. He'll help you out. but he's always asking a ton of questions, very observant. The kid really, really knows cooking. And he'll even ask you, well, are you using this because you're trying to get this flavor, you're trying to get this moisture retention? I mean, the kid's really, really sharp. And you never mind having kids around like that because, you know, one, he never minds helping out, and two, he's just always listening, paying attention, and learning, which is cool. Garrett, he's just always cooked with his dad, Jim Elser. Based on me, I mean, he wanted grand before his dad did. But, you know, Garrett's always just one of those nice kids that makes you so proud to be part of the FBA. You know, just always a polite kid, always there. But, I mean, there's not a contest that Jim's at that Garrett's not there. And he's, you know, a big part of the team and a hand on it. So you can see why these guys did so well. But, you know, Jacksonville Southland's the pro division with a 763.5. And then Gavin and Garrett end up winning with a 154.9. So, you know, less than 10 points separates the backyard GC and the pro GC. You usually don't see that. At a FBA contest, usually a 7-10, 7-15, a one backyard, maybe a 7-30 if you have a real overachiever. But then if you look at their category scores, a 191 chicken. A 191 chicken in the pro division would have finished about fifth place. On their pork, they scored a 198.6. So damn near a perfect score in pork. It would have been a second place pro pork that they put up in the backyard. Ribs and brisket, 180, 180 and a half, and then about a 185 in brisket. So, I mean, just a solid cook. I'm really, really proud of these guys. Did a great job. And I think it's just cool to see that next generation of kids out there enjoying it, learning it, passing it on. So, congratulations, Garrett and Gavin, and I hope you guys don't plan on moving to the pro division anytime soon. Last thing we need is another tough team out there we got to try to beat. So good job, guys. All right, with that, we are going to thank a couple of sponsors, then we're going to get over to Mikey D. First off, I want to thank two local companies that are real good to the show and real good to the Whiskey Vent Barbecue team. First off is Master Purveyors over in Tampa. If you're local and you're looking for a great deal on high-quality barbecue products as far as meat products go, prime briskets, Wagyu briskets, that type of deal, you want to call Sean McCreary over at Master Purveyors. Usually if you give him 3-4 days notice, he's got exactly the size you want, the cut you want ready for you. I've been using – he's got some St. Louis pre-cut already, that beautiful marbling on the ribs for about the price that you're going to buy full spare at the same. And they're beautiful, well marbled. I get those from them. I get my Duroc pork butts from them, and I get some real, real nice chicken thighs that he's got from him. That's where we get all of our contest meat. And then also on top of that, just from a cookout point of view, you know, I don't buy pork chops out of the store anymore. I buy bone-in loins from Sean. And I go ahead and I cut my own chops. I cut my own ribeyes. All those things. Because the price he's getting you for nice, aged, prime-type meat is what you're going to pay for a choice cut of meat at Publix. So if you need any information on how to get a hold of Sean, if you're interested, you can look him up online at masterpurveyorsfl.com or just drop me a line at whiskeyventbbq@gmail or on Facebook or on Twitter, and I can get you all of his contact details. Really easy guy to work with. I'm actually going to see him first thing in the morning to get all my stuff for this weekend. Other local company I want to thank is Southern Bread Smokers. Obviously, you know, my cousin Adam and us, what we're doing on the smoker side of the business is really cool. It's been great. They're coming along. We've got a couple of dealer meetings this week on setting up some new dealers. Actually, one here in Tampa, and then a couple others that are looking at carrying the line. Also have just a bunch of inquiries from just single owners, guys that are interested in having one themselves. So if you're interested in a nice gravity fed that's already got the draft system built in, holds temperature well, cooks well, great smoke ring, well built, going to be a smoker that's going to last you 15, 20 years. You know, 11 gauge, 13 gauge type steel, you know, very, very well built, minimal welds, almost all bend, coming out of a you know, 30 plus year machine company and machine shop. As far as metal fabrication goes, go over and check us out, Southern Bread Smokers, and we'll get you squared away. If you are a dealer or know of a dealer that may be interested in carrying the product, let us know, and we can also help them out too. That being said, let's go over. My good buddy, Michael McDearman, what's up, man?
What do you know, barbecue brother?
Hey, man, not too much, brother. I'm just sitting here, man. This is 2 hours every week, man, just living the dream, talking a little bit of barbecue with my buddies.
Well, I thought I was in church. You were preaching there for a little bit. I was about to say, pass the offering plate.
Well, let me ask you this, Michael. You go to about every Sam's Club local event. You go to the only person that goes to more Sam's Club locals than you is Troy Black.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't you think I have a right as being a guy that's proud of Central Florida Barbecue to be pissed about not filling up the local event?
You didn't lose me.
Okay.
I'm not an employee of the Sam's Club Tour and don't know the intricacy there, but I definitely know that the quality of cooks in Florida, we all know that, and I'm sure that that's why they've given you the 3 years of scheduling that they have. I think it's definitely a different style than most formats, and the tournament, you know, you're basically coming on March Madness, and that's the easiest way to describe the Sam's Tour. I would hope that a chance at 3 weekends of cooking and $50,000 ending check plus some winnings along the way would be enticing. I wish I was down in Florida, I'd cook it.
Yeah. So.
But hey, for those that are in it, congratulations. Going to be better odds for you that you're moving on.
25% chance.
There you go.
Which I need. We definitely
need
it.
By the way, Chad, just to go ahead since we're on the topic,
yeah.
You know, for the past 2 years I have gone around to quite a few of the Sam's Club's events and there'll be more coming out about it, about who's sponsoring and things, but I am on the Grillmaster Tour this year. And I'll be doing 30 events, and 27 of them Sam's Clubs. So I'm looking forward to jumping back out there and seeing all those friendly faces.
Man, I love to hear that. I think it's a great thing. I think it's a good fit. I think you engage with the people on Saturdays. I think if you weren't on the tour, that people would be losing out on something. So that's awesome. Is one of those that's not a Sam's Club event the World Food Championships again?
Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner.
Good.
Yep. And the schedule and everything will be announced very shortly, actually, I would imagine, since my first event is March, I believe, 2nd in Baton Rouge.
Very good. Very good. Well, yeah, you can definitely, good Lord willing, you can count us in at the World Food Championship since we were lucky enough to win a qualifying event right here, right off the bat in February. It gives us plenty of time to plan around it.
I cannot wait, and Vegas will not know what hit them. It'll be a fantastic, it'll be a spectacle, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
It's hard to believe that the season's coming up already. I've missed everybody, that's for sure, but I've been so busy and my nose to the grindstone, I tell you, it's been sort of a whirlwind this winter.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, man, anybody that follows you on Facebook has seen you put up a ton of stuff. The first one I like to talk about is a little bit of what you're how are things progressing? You mentioned it to us last time you were on the show, kind of as we closed out what you were doing with, you know, kind of creating the cooking classroom, and you called it a classroom. The way I look at the way you're laying it out, man, it's almost like an amphitheater. You know, it's just a real sweet look to it. Can you give us an update on that?
Well, we actually do. I've got quite a bit done, and I'm due to timing in Tennessee. You only plant towards March, and I've got the nursery bringing in plants, and so we'll do the landscaping. The patio and walkways are done. The grills, I've got a number of primos and drums and charcoals that Bull Grills has been kind enough to let me use some of theirs, and I've even got some gas grills out there for the folks that are just getting into it, and you're going to have everything from Brazilian cooking to on the coals, and I'm talking direct on the coals, on river rock, on salt blocks, cooking cold smoking, every type of live fire outdoor that you can think of. we're gonna be teaching on. And whether it's La Caja China or whether it's gonna be smokers, that's almost second nature now. I'm talking about the swords and Argentinian, Brazilian styles. Rub will love that. I know Rub has got a lot going on down in South America with his barbecue. But we're going to be hitting it full swing. And the funny thing is the classes will start up. But I want to head back to one other thing that sort of is the center of it all, and that's foodinquirer.com. And y'all are gonna perk up probably like my dog twists his head to the side and goes, "Whoop." But, foodinquirer.com, they're actually my go-to source for marketing and getting the word out there on foodie things. And I've got a 4 e-cookbook publishing deal this year, so I'll be putting out 4 cookbooks this year. And go to foodinquirer.com and you can check them out. I'm their official grill master this year. And they are also publishing my website. So with that, that's going to be the hub of it all, and when they finish that up in the coming weeks, then they'll have all the class schedules and the Game Changer will be on there. I think we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. We've got a bunch of different things going on. You know, over the winter too, I got some great news and a collaborative effort. Mojo Bricks, you may be familiar with them.
Absolutely.
If you're not, you know, Mojo Bricks, they've got an assortment of different woods that they compress sawdust, and you can use it on gas grills or on charcoal and even in smokers. And it's fantastic as far as the results. Pitmaster Robert Sierra, you know, I want to give a shout-out to S&S crew down in Texas. They and I myself and Phil Wingo and Buzz and just a bunch of folks were all at a contest, and so I whipped up some steaks one evening and used the Mojo Brick Cherry, and boy, it put off a beautiful red color on them. And then also we used grill grates, Brad Barrett. I tell you, I feel like a NASCAR guy having to list off the six sponsors and then say grill. I had a great experience, and I'm their grill master for 2013 as well.
No, Mojo Bricks is a great product, and, golly, probably – been in touch with Fred since he started putting them out for, availability. And the one thing to know about those two is, man, a little bit goes a long way. Those Mojo cubes that he has are perfect for about anything. But then, the bricks, I've seen guys run those bricks and stick burners like logs and increase their runtime, significantly.
Yeah.
Without oversmoking the meat. Depending on what flavor they use. So, no, I definitely think that's a good product to have yourself attached to this year.
Well, and keep your eyes peeled, because I'm actually taking my video equipment on the road, and I'll be doing different videos, not on site, but I'll do them throughout the week. I'm going to be doing a weekly blog for grillingwithrich.com. It's going to be a video blog. So I'm trying to just live up to the folks who've been calling me the biggest man or busiest man in barbecue. And so I'll still be writing for the Barbecue Times newspaper and Audrey and them and the KCBS bullsheet from time to time. But keep your eyes peeled on grillingwithrich.com. That's going to be a great weekly video blog that I'll be doing.
Well, man, there ain't going to be much downtime for you when you're going from state to state, is there, my friend?
When you're doing what you love, it don't matter.
No, I totally agree with you. I totally agree.
And
that's awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And getting, looking at things and going, how can we improve? And we're constantly doing that. You and I am constantly up at 3-4 in the morning looking at the internet and reading the blogs and seeing the things that are out there and going, how can I solve those problems? And, I came up with one. I think it'll solve it. How did you enjoy it this weekend, talking about the Game Changer?
I enjoyed it a lot, man. It I had an idea what it was going to look like and all that stuff, and it was exactly how I thought based on some of the discussions we had. And for you guys do you have a picture, like a singular one, on your Facebook, Michael?
Yeah, I do, I think.
All right.
Yeah, I do. I've got them on the rack. They're on my Facebook page, and Michael McDearman on Facebook. And you can see them because I was stacking them in the and warehousing them.
Yeah, we I will tell you, if you go over there and take a look at it, they're really cool. So talk a little bit about the construction of it, Michael, and then I'm gonna talk to you a little bit about how I enjoyed working on it.
Well, the part of it goes hand in hand. The construction, you gotta think through the process. You know, I'm one of these buy it once, cry once. You know, the folks that I talk to about grills, they sit there and they say, well, I'm going back every 3 years and having to buy a new grill. I said, well, if you invest in one instead of buy one, then you're going to get what you need. And I started thinking, my grandmother's a huge influence on my cooking, and she's been published in Southern Living more times than she's got fingers and toes. But as far as the things that she used to cook on, cast iron was one of the things that would always provide that crispy skin on chicken, that bite-through skin. And I started thinking about it and applying it, and I've got a part of my team is a guy who's a PhD in engineering, and so we went through the tooling and started to work on prototypes, and got another guy in who's working on a master's in engineering, and we started looking at exactly how we wanted to do it. Wanted it to be durable. Wanted to have some flexibility, too. And when we get into technique, I'll talk to you about that. But then also wanted to think it through about what the best way for this mousetrap was to be built. You know, you're always looking to build a better mousetrap. Well, this little thing is a fantastic cast iron trough. And the trough is sturdy. It'll hold two chicken thighs. You can get three in there if you're using organic, but I prefer two because of the tongs and the way that you want to manage it. The great thing about cast iron is it transfers heat very easily and keeps its heat as well. Then also, too, you've got essentially a nonstick surface if you've seasoned it properly, and even adding a little bit of extra oil to it keeps that from happening as well during the cooking process. Now, you're not cooking with this. This is really a finishing tool. Your current recipe doesn't need to change, or technique doesn't need to change one iota. And I'll let you talk about how you went about it, Chad, but,
yep.
But it also comes with a press. And that press is a top plate that sits onto the chicken thigh, and you can preheat it as well and get that bite-through skin on the bottom skin, too, so that when you wrap that skin back around, you're not getting that chewy, gummy, soggy thing that pulls all that skin off in the judge's mouth, and then they're like, all right, there's an 8, there's a 7. We want those 9s and 10s we're after. So that can make a huge difference. How did you go about it, Chad?
So I went about it. I've got my chicken right now is about an hour and 40-minute program.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, and it's three steps, and I took two of the steps and shortened them up 5 minutes. Because I knew, even though I probably wasn't going to be in the game changer that long, I knew the amount of heat that I'd be putting to that small thigh would be exponential compared to just cooking it on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I've got a process from after I get it out of the butter, I let it dry out a little bit, and then I'll usually sauce it. So I actually, before the sauce step, after it had dried off on the cooker, I took it, put it face down in the game changer. And I wasn't too long at all. I was probably – I did a couple at a minute and a couple at 90 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had them over the hottest part of my grill. And obviously I had preheated both so that I was going to get that, you know, that what we're looking for. And I would say I liked the 90-second one a little bit more. And so then I went directly out of there with my tongs, dunked it, put it back on my rack, and let it finish off till the sauce set, you know, 10 to 12 minutes. And I didn't notice any impact on, I mean, my moisture was still just as good as it usually is, but the skin was, I mean, great bite through. And usually, without scraping it, I'd worked out a technique to get it to where it was pretty well bite through, but this was really took it to the next level. I was very happy with it. You can definitely put some thought process into it as far as how big the channel is, how thick the channel is. those type of things. So it doesn't scorch. It doesn't, you know, those kind of things aren't really an issue. And I tried a couple without the press and a couple with the press, and I liked it with the press better.
Yep. It makes a difference, that press. It also will be a handle that will be able to be gripped with your tongs.
Yep.
On that press. Then also, too, being cast iron, if you look at Dutch oven cooking, you can also set it on a pan and set coals on the sides, because you're going to be doing a number of these, so that the cast iron is constantly reheating itself, so the
yep.
coals are right up nestled underneath. You know, with the cast iron side of things, too, you don't need to use any rubs on the exterior of your chicken skin until you have completed the game changer finishing steps. And that's going to be able to allow your sugars and spices to release those essential oils on the heat from the chicken thigh and give you good flavor profile there. But then also you're not going to have any burning of sugars that may be in some rubs that you need to think about. But other than that, your process should stay the same, and the game changer will give you that crispy bite-through skin, potentially the holy grail that we look for, and that is on all sides, that crispy bite-through skin. Now, we've had 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes on the bite-through skin being teeth mark bite-through, and that just depends on the weather.
Yep.
So, you know, when you've got that kind of window after you've used it, it's a fantastic finishing tool for your competition chicken. And you choose whether or not you go bite through, crispy bite through, however your technique you want to approach it is.
Yep.
And also, too, on the heating of it, you know, it depends on the smoker or grill that you're using. I've got the ability with cast iron to set it right on the coals, put my thermopen on it, remove it from the coals when it's at that temperature, or put it a certain distance from the coals. It's all up to you and your technique of what you want to have as your finishing tool. And that's the beauty of it all, too, getting bite-through skin that's flexible to your technique and how you feel comfortable. And just like anybody in competition barbecue knows, it's knowing your smoker and knowing your technique. And it doesn't matter whether you're on a drum or a $15,000 Jambo. You know, it's knowing that spots and the things on it. So it's fantastic. I enjoy it, and I'm looking forward to getting it out there more. And I know I haven't even put it for sale until this week, and I've already had about a dozen that have been requested. So, and that's just from word spreading.
Well, that is awesome. What is are you ready to release to the folks what the retail on that's going to be? Or are you still working that out?
We're at 30. And then I'm going to go flat rate shipping through Postal Service, and that is with the press as well as the trough. And, again, cast iron, grandma's cast iron. I've got my great-grandmother's cast iron skillet, you know, and then that thing, that cast iron skillet here is just practically indestructible. So, you know, you look at those things, and it's not going to go away. It's going to withstand time, and it will be there for you. You can count on it.
No, definitely. And one of the things I'll echo that you said is I liked just doing two at the time in it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like with three, it does get a little cumbersome with your tongs, and you can end up kind of you've worked so hard to get that skin. It sucks to ding it up when you're trying to get it off of there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, if you think about timing wise, too, Chad, when you're removing one and two from that trough, and you're placing them in your box.
Yep.
Then you've gone dunked it or done whatever you need to do. But there's a process in there, depending on your techniques, that you've got a good timing with two of them.
Yes.
And you're doing the next step, and it's reheating from those coals on its side, and then boom, boom, you're just plugging right through. And like you said, 60 to 90 seconds for each one. It's negligible as far as the time in your process, and you're not going to lose any heat, too.
Well, and the way I look at it is usually we kind of do a visual before we dunk in our sauce. Anyway, let's say we cooked 20 thighs.
Yeah.
Before we even dunk in the sauce, if we're cooking an FBA contest, we've narrowed it down to 12. If we're cooking a KCBS contest, it requires 6 pieces in the box. We've narrowed it down to 10. So sometimes if there's 20, 10 of those won't even get dunked in sauce because we're going to go, you know, based on the look and the sizing and how it's going to look in the box, these are the 6 or these are the 8. And so with that being said, I mean, you're only talking about 4 rounds at 90 seconds. It's 6 minutes. You're pretty impressed with that math. That was right off the top of my head, so I didn't have that written down.
Yeah, no. Carry the 1.
Exactly. So no, but I mean, if you think about it like that and the way you're kind of pacing your work anyway, it actually kind of fits right into the process. So I think that is a nice part of it.
Well, thank you, Chad. I appreciate it. Yeah, I saw in the chat room, Andy was asking about, did he say 2 thighs each? And yes, it is a 2 thigh trough.
Yeah.
So I wanted to clear that up. And anybody who's got any questions, feel free to hit me up on Get Fired Up Foods on Facebook or Michael McDierman on Facebook, and I'll be happy to field the questions and talk you through the process. And you and I both know that it's all about service. I want to make sure everybody understands how to use the tool and what great way to use it and adapt it to their technique.
Absolutely. One of the other things I was going to have you share with the listeners is the seasoning of cast iron. You know, some people haven't been around it as much as you and I have. And I know, obviously, you know, when you talk about your great grandmother's cast iron skillet, you know how to make a skillet live. Why don't you share with the folks how you would recommend seasoning this game changer?
You know, cast iron warming it and putting it in the oven is a great way to approach it the first time. And I would heat it up with some vegetable oil, something along those lines, canola, and wipe it down with the oil with a paper towel, then warm it up and reapply. And you don't want it to be gummy, but you want it to release that oil that's in its pores, in that metal's pores, when it gets heated up. And that will make it a nonstick surface. And if you want to, I prefer the added little step of applying some canola oil right before you put the thighs into the game changer. And that will help you as well.
Excellent. And as far as care of it, you know, after each use, just wipe it down and wipe it down and clean it up.
Yeah. Do not use any soap or abrasive brushes. The way that the Lodge cast iron actually says is to wipe it clean. You can use some mild soap and water, but you don't ever want to put it in the dishwasher because then you'll have to re-season it. The beauty about this is you wash it with a mild soap and water. And then a mild reseasoning rather than the full bore, putting it in there for an hour, hour and a half in the oven type of thing.
Well, I'm going to tell you, anybody that's ever seen any tools or grills that I've owned will tell you I'm the king of seasoning them. And that's only because I really hate cleaning them.
You know, it's a fantastic cook. Steak's great too.
Really?
Not the game changer. I'm talking about cast iron.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've done that a couple of times.
If you're feeling frisky, too, during corn season, when you get that great sweet corn out of Florida,
yeah,
roll you a little cob of corn in there and with some melted butter over the top and just twist it around and get that nice little caramelization of the sugars on the outer edge, and that'll protect it from getting burnt grill marks on it, and you'll just get that caramelization on it, too. There's another use.
I'll have to check it out. That just sounds tasty already.
Good.
So talk to me a little bit about I know you did this episode with Jack on Great TV. How was that?
Oh, wow. You know, Jack Waybor is fantastic, and what a host over there in Charleston, South Carolina. He does Great TV, which can be found on YouTube under Barbecue Tricks, also greattv.com, and they do episodes on all types of different cooking. And he and I, we have been good friends for a few years now, and Well, we turned in a video, and we'll see. Who knows on this Pitmaster stuff? But you know, he's a good friend, and I wound up going down there to have some fun with him. And they said, well, if you're coming down, you might as well show us how to cook some steaks. And since it's near Valentine's, we can do a heart shaped ribeye. So we cut the ribeyes to make a heart shape, and sort of did that kind of theme. It was a fun little episode. And what a wonderful way to spend it with Mary and Jack and Bill and that whole crew, just to see how they're producing things. And week after week, you've got episodes coming out. I would encourage folks to go and look. If you're looking at live fire cooking, that's a great resource for you.
And so, obviously, if there's anybody looking to wow their significant other this Thursday, they could go over and check that out at greattv.com.
They can. It's a short little 11-minute video, not going to take up all night, and it gives you every basic that I taught the two-time reigning world champs.
Very cool. There's a I've got a couple ideas, but there's a question in chat right now from Anthony King. It says he's opening a barbecue restaurant soon and wanted to know the best way to keep barbecue moist and reheat with top quality. There's a little bit of a challenge to that. I don't know that I got the answer for him. What do you think there, Michael? What would be some of your suggestions?
You know, I personally know that we all battle, say, a pork shoulder, a pork butt, drying out. Once you get in there with a meat rake or try and break it up, and depending on whether you're doing Carolina chopped or whether you're just pulling it or whether you're slicing it too, once meat is cut, it does tend to want to release that moisture. And so the longer you can leave it in whole form, the better off you'll be. That's something that I would definitely approach. And much like us on the competition circuit, when we've got those pork butts resting at the proper temperatures, you know, you can prolong your butts, and foil is your friend in the restaurant business and in the competition circuit. But Cambros, you know, those are fantastic to use too. But I always will preheat a Cambro, meaning I will put hot water inside the Cambro, because especially if he's looking at doing catering gigs too, because that Cambro will wick some of that heat out of that meat to get itself up to temperature, if that makes any sense.
No. Yeah, it definitely does. It kind of... kind of starting the Cambro out at a temperature that you're not going to shock it. You know what I'm saying? If you throw it in there and it's 50 degrees out, but you put a 200-degree pork butt in there, you know, it's going to start sweating that thing and starting to almost trying to create an equilibrium in there, right? It's going to start sucking all the heat to heat up the Cambro, and that's going to pull your moisture out. That's a very good point.
Well, and here's something to think about. You know, on the competition circuit, and I mentioned this earlier, we're always looking to build a better mousetrap, or how can we solve that problem? Well, we foil when we're cooking at a certain stage in the process once we've gotten our bark color, but we foil to keep that moisture and to hold that bark color, right?
Absolutely.
And we'll get that moisture almost like a boat. I mean, it becomes a like a braise in some senses, because so much moisture comes out. But it also relates to cooking techniques, sous vide cooking, where you vacuum seal it and then cooking it in its own juices so that more juice stays within the meat. To apply that to Anthony's situation, that foil is going to be his best technique, and also very good on cleanup too. You know, when he's going to preserve some grease and keeping grease out of his smokers, so he won't have the risk of grease fires, even if he's using the old hickories or Southern Prides or the rotisserie types. And then easy cleanup throwaway. You're not having to sit there and do the dishes, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. So one thing he said, and I know, actually it's funny, I think there may have been emails coming out from a certain barbecue show tonight, because I've had three people now text me and say they can announce they're going to be on Pitmasters. So that'll be interesting. I think one of them's calling in here in a second. But I will tell you, seeing that we have not had that email It is now a third straight season that Whiskey Mint Barbecue has been denied pitmasters. And I'll tell you what, we'll keep turning a video every year. I'd like to keep the streak up. I'd like to be in season 10 and be like, you know what? First, all nine seasons, we've struck out. So I am going to wish you the best of luck, my friend, and hoping that you guys' video made the push. I think you'd be great on a show like that. I think you got the chops to go pretty dang deep in it and maybe win the whole thing.
Well, this isn't about Pitmasters, but there have been some other food channels out there that have been doing things as well. So who knows? You may see me somewhere else. You may see me there. Who knows? I don't know.
Absolutely. You never do know. Well, brother, I definitely always appreciate you making the time to come in and chat with us, tell us about all the new things going on. Let everybody know where they can find this Game Changer Act, because I don't want people to miss out on it.
No worries at all. You can always contact me at Michael McDermott through Facebook and Get Fired Up Foods. And when the publisher, that four cookbook deal that I got, when the publisher gets GetFiredUpFoods.com up and going, we'll have everything there. That's going to be the central hub for it all.
Awesome. Well, when all that gets aggregated, let me know, and we'll have you back on the show, and maybe we'll actually have everybody log on, go to the site, check out the content, and get people educated on what's where and how they can get a hold of you there.
Well, you're going to see videos, too, so keep your eyes peeled. I'll be doing live fire cooking from the road, as well as when I come back on my maybe couple of weeks off. I'll be doing it in the classroom as well. So thank you, Chad, and have a great one.
Absolutely, man. Always a pleasure, Michael. Have a safe time out on the road, and we'll catch up to you soon.
Thank you much. Bye-bye.
All right, brother. Michael Garrett, Get Fired Up Foods, always a great guest, always a wealth of knowledge, always has plenty to share, and at the end of the day, man, just an all-around damn good Southern gentleman. So always good to have him on the show. As I was saying, there have been some emails floating around about people that are on Pitmasters, and I believe one of them should be calling in here in the next minute or two to let us know. And it's a repeat guest. It is a good friend of mine. If you remember back, I'm not going to tell you too many more hints. We'll wait for a second. We'll wait for a second and let you find out. So I'll give too many more hints, you're going to know who it is. Actually, I'll tell you what. We've got a pretty seasoned crew of folks in chat. So what I will tell you is, see if you guys can guess it, return guest. And I have actually been to their restaurant. Return guest. I've been to the restaurant, hung out there. Got a little, let's just maybe even call it a little behind the scenes look of what was going on. All right, I'm going to give him, well, maybe not. Now I'm getting word back that they were just telling me that we couldn't, hold on. This is sometimes the challenge of immediate, we'll see. We're going to give him another minute or two. While we're doing that, we're going to go ahead and take care of the sponsor read in between segments, and that is thebarbecuesuperstore.com. Guys, y'all know we always talk about it, Rick and Mark. They take care of us. You know, I got home. I was out seeing a customer down in South Florida, got home, and the goodies were here for me for this weekend. I think I placed that order over the weekend, like maybe Friday night. Stuff's here on Tuesday. You know, all of it good shape, well packaged, bubble wrapped, great price. Just a ton of stuff. I mean, you can get everything you need there. Whatever sauce you need, whatever rub you need, it's always there. It's always waiting on you. TheBarbecueSuperstore.com. Go over there. They've got the barbecue products, Cosmos, Texas Pepper Jelly, Butchers, all that whole assortment. Slappy Old Daddy, they've got Harry stuff over there. It's just a really, really nice assortment of products. One-stop shop. You can get everything you need, fill your basket up, and then boom, A couple of days later, there it is. Honestly, all I ever do, cut the box open, look, and then I take the box, put it right on the barbecue trailer, and I worry about it when I get there on Friday. So with that being said, we're going to go over to one quick announcement, and then we're going to get to Shane Duncan here in just a minute. How are you doing, my good friend?
What's up, brother?
So, Mr. Corey Brinson calling in unexpected, guys. Fatback's Barbecue. So, Corey, you got a little announcement to tell us?
Chad, they called me, man, and told me I was going back on season 4 of Barbecue Pitmasters. They just couldn't do without me, I guess.
And now, if you guys remember, Corey and his brother finished runner-up to Johnny Trigg in season 3. So,
yeah.
You got to be thinking about going back for a little bit of vindication, don't you, brother?
Yeah, man, it's still nerve-wracking, you know. I mean, I'm still just as nervous as I was the day they called me when I went on the last time. You know, I mean, it's just, you don't know what they're going to throw against you or who you're going to be against or anything. So, I just heard that they were going to try to do something like beat the Masters or whatever. So I think they're putting people up against people that's already been on, is what I'm gathering.
Dude, that is pretty awesome. That is pretty awesome. Well, dude, we'll definitely be pulling for you. You know that.
Yeah, Chad, I appreciate it, man. I don't know when or where, you know, it just, they call you up and say, hey, this is where we need you to go, and this is when. So, I guess once I get filmed and I know when my episode is going to air, I can let everybody know that. That'll be the next step.
please do, man. And real quick, dude, it looks like the restaurant's been going phenomenal, man.
Yeah, it's slamming, man. We're still doing wide open, doing good. Melissa Cookson has moved into town here, which is pretty crazy, but she's got a restaurant probably about 10 miles away from me out by the mall. So I guess hers is doing good too. I haven't heard anything.
Well, brother, you know how it is. If you can only control what you can control. And, you know, with that being said, you put out the best food you can every day, and I'm sure you're going to keep them lines out the door.
That's right, man. That's all you can do, buddy. Just pray about it and hope they show up.
Absolutely, my friend. Well, dude, we got to get you back on the show soon for a segment, maybe leading up to this new episode of Pitmasters. That I'm sure that's one thing Pitmasters is good about, man. From filming to on air is not nearly like a Chopped on the Food Network where it takes 6 or 8 months. Usually, you're filming and then you're on TV in 6 to 10 weeks.
Yeah, it blew my mind tonight when I read the email. My little brother sent me the email, and it really shocked me that we were allowed to tell people. Because, you know, I was filmed for 3 months before I could tell people that I was even on the show.
Yep.
And now we don't even know where we're going, and we're allowed to tell people. So that's a big plus for us.
Absolutely. Well, dude, congratulations, man. And best of luck. You guys got a double-sitting for Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah, we sure do, man. I'm gonna change it up a little bit. I'm gonna decorate the inside, and we're gonna have a red carpet out. I'm gonna have my buddy sitting out there seating people, and I'm gonna do a big old pork chop with some mashed potatoes and string beans, and just do some of our new pork puppies we got, and just try to change it up a little bit. Try to make them feel special, man.
That is great, man. Well, brother, best of luck with that, and we're going to catch up with you soon. And once again, congratulations on Pitmaster Season 4.
Hey, Chad, I appreciate it, brother. Thanks, everybody. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Corey. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, guys. Corey Brinson, we are – dude, congratulations to Corey. That is killer to see him get in. And then we also just found out in chat while Corey was announcing his that mentor – and fellow Imperial Polk Countyan, the first Imperial Polk Countyan to be on Barbecue Pitmasters, Rob Bagley, and his lovely wife Amy will also be on season 4. Kind of disappointed it's not Woody. No offense. Woody is Rub's right hand, but I do understand he's got to live with Amy. So, Amy and Rub, that is awesome, man. I've always thought Rub's always kind of got left out on these TV deals, because if you ever go look at the guy's record, I mean, he's, you know, Myron always likes to talk about being the winningest man in barbecue, but Rub's won a ton of grand championships, reserve grand championships, and first places for the amount of time he's cooked. You know, he hasn't done it for 3 decades because his daddy taught him. But for the time that Rub has cooked and the amount of success he's had, it is really, really impressive. So I'm glad to see him finally get a little bit of airtime. So that is awesome. We'll be pulling for you guys. All right, with that being said, let me pull up our good buddy Shannon Duncan here. Shannon, what's going on, man?
Hey, brother, what's going on?
Dude, good to have you on the show first time.
Hey, appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity to talk about winging it.
Dude, so now you're going to get to say that your inaugural winging it grand champion is going to be a television celebrity, old Rob Bagby.
Is that right?
That is right. We just found out that he's going to be on Pitmaster Season 4.
How great is that? How great is that?
Could happen to a better fella. I totally agree with you.
It could. And I'll tell you what, you know, going into winging it last year on our first year, you know, of doing that, we called, we had a few people talk to Rub and everything, and we called him and talked to him, you know, and he had faith in us to bring, you know, his rig out there and set up, you know, it was an honor to have him out there, you know, and he competed in the restaurant side of it with his, him having the catering business and such. And, you know, he did real good. He did real well out there. He won the grand champion on that side of wings. And I told him, you know, maybe he'd turn a corner into something new.
Absolutely. So, Shannon, let's start back at the base. You know, how did the whole Winging It Festival come up as an idea?
Well, Winging It Festival came up essentially. Winging It Festival is going to be the financial backbone to a nonprofit called Bryce's Buddies Juvenile Diabetes Foundation. About 5 years ago, our son Bryce came down with juvenile diabetes, and to make a long story short, after being kicked in the gut as parents and, you know, being told that your son's going to have to deal with a lifetime illness, you know, we went to go get our prescriptions filled the first time. They coded the insurance wrong, and pretty much my wife, Brandy, had a little bit of a meltdown right there in the middle of Publix, rightfully so. And my son saw that, and he sat on my lap as a 9-year-old, you know, 2-week post-diabetic, about 2 weeks later, and told me, you know, was real concerned about that, and real concerned about families that may not have insurance for their kids, and, you know, pretty much right out asked me, you know, do these kids die if they can't afford to get their medicine? Well, just kind of get the, you know, our wheels turning, and, you know, we were proud of him being 9 years old and kind of being concerned about other kids, and, you know, we just got looking into a lot of things, and there really wasn't a lot, you know, in the southeastern United States even. You know, JDRF does a great job with what they do. And, you know, we hope one day that Bryce's Buddies won't be needed. You know, we hope they find a cure. And but until then, you know, we felt a need and saw a need in the community to help some of these families out. You know, help them out with some of their, you know, medical costs, with some of their co-pays, with purchasing some of their medications for them. And we also hold quarterly support group meetings, you know, where we get all the kids together that have the, you know, same disease, and, you know, they can kind of let go. You know, they don't have to worry about, you know, do the other kids know what's going on here. So they have a good time. The parents get to network and find out what's going right and what's going wrong. And, you know, this thing's been going on since October of 2010. And so we're very excited about it. And, you know, Winging It is just kind of that fundraiser that's going to kind of be that financial backbone for Bryce's Buddies.
No, that's, you know, what a tremendous cause. And the funny thing about, you know, even adult diabetes or juvenile diabetes, you know, I mean, I've seen your son now at a couple of contests. You wouldn't know it from looking at him, man. He's healthy looking young kid, energetic, you know what I'm saying? And to think that there's other kids out there going on with that ailment that may not be fortunate enough to have insurance or not have a job that affords them coverage to where it's not something that's pulling away from the other family necessities, you know?
Sure. Well, you know, and Brandy and I found that. We're both firefighters. I work for the city of Winter Haven, and she works for Polk County. And, you know, when all that happened, the economic downturn, we had a business that was thriving, you know, before that on the side. And then this happened, the economic downturn. And to be honest with you, we were in a spot as well, you know, to where there were a lot of things that we had to prioritize in our life financially. And one of those things, you know, that was rough on us was he wanted to go to a diabetic camp. You know, it's a week-long diabetic camp over in Winona, Camp Winona, over in De Leon Springs. And, you know, to be honest with you, it was $500. We couldn't afford it at the time, you know, to be quite frank.
Sure.
And, you know, the Kiwanis Club actually stepped up and paid for our son to go to that camp that week. And, you know, it was kind of, you know, them paying for that. We wanted to make sure that we were going to do the same thing for kids when we had the ability through Bryce's buddies. And we're proud to announce that 2 weeks ago, we sent six of our kids over to a diabetic sports camp that Sam Fold put on from the Tampa Bay Rays over at University of South Florida. So, you know, one more thing that we're trying to do, you know, trying to stay involved in the community and get these kids, you know, where they need to be.
Well, and the other thing, too, is it's a fine line, right? You want to teach the kids on how to cope with juvenile diabetes, but you don't want them to use it as a coping mechanism for other things in life. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And that's a, I mean, and that's just got to be a challenge. And so I think, you know, I love the idea of the support groups and that kind of thing, because it's more than just paying the bills and making sure they get what they need. It's making sure that they understand it, are okay with it, and know how to deal with it. One, to stay healthy, and two, to not, you know, to not let it get in the way of being a kid, you know?
Exactly.
That's the hard part.
Yep. You know, and everybody associates diabetes. You know, these kids, they can't eat an ounce of candy, or they can't have, you know, anything sweet, this and that. Well, you know, they can enjoy everything in moderation, and that's what we try to tell them. You know, you can have these things in moderation. Essentially, it's maintenance. It's what you have to do to keep your body right, to keep your mind right, and to grow up and live a fruitful life, you know, and they can do that. You know, this is a disease, but yet, you know, these kids and these families are fortunate in the fact that it is a manageable disease. And I, you know, Brandy and I always link this back, and I tell every one of our families, and I tell everybody that I know that has a loved one involved with diabetes, is that it's a chess match. And if you find yourself in check all the time with your diabetes, then you're doing something wrong. You need to be proactive, and you need to make your diabetes move by your moves.
Yep.
You know, so, but yeah, we're happy to be doing what we're doing. We think it's a worthwhile cause. We have a lot of backing and community support. You know, we had a lot of teams that come out there last year, you know, and they knew, being a first year deal, that they weren't going to be rich when they left the Winter Haven Airport last year. But to be honest with you, I think they were also surprised. And the fact that I think over half of our teams that came out there last year Saturday morning, because we do a 2-day event on Friday and Saturday morning, they find themselves waking up to getting in their cars and driving to Sam's Club trying to find more wings because they sold out on Friday night. You know, that was one of the questions that we had from a lot of the teams, were how many wings do I bring? Do I bring 2 cases or do I bring 20 cases? And to be honest with you, we didn't know what answer to give them. So we did have some wings available out there. We put them up in the Publix trailer. Publix is a huge sponsor of ours. We put them up in there, and we sold them out of there as they needed them. But, of course, we didn't have enough for the demand. We had coming back with, you know, what the teams that were out there were telling us on how many cases they sold and such, we figured that we sold over 20,000 wings out there last year at a first-year event, so we were very happy with that turnout.
Wow. And yeah. What do you think you had attendance-wise through the gate? I mean, that's always a hard number to say, but, you know, a couple thousand folks?
Well, no, we think it was more than that. You know, the way that we gauge our attendance is pretty much out there, you have to come in and park on the airport property. There's not a lot of room out front to park, and they had the parking lot for the terminal building there kind of blocked off to where people couldn't park in there. So we had to go by attendance. We did charge a $3 parking fee that we split with the Boy Scouts of America. They did all of our parking out there, which, you know, kind of kept our hands off of that and freed us up to be able to do other things with our volunteers. And coming back from there, we averaged if 3 people per car, per vehicle come in. You know, some are families of 4, some there were 2 people that came in. But if we just had 3, we had somewhere between 75 and 8,500 people out there.
That is great attendance for a first-year event. There's four, fifth, six-year barbecue contests that would give to have that kind of turnout. That's,
well,
amazing.
And that, you know, that's what the word's been out there. You know, we've been out kind of promoting ourselves at Pig Fest for the past you know, a couple of weeks we went to Pig Fest there in Lakeland, we went to Smoke on the Water, and boy, I tell you what, those are two great events that if you can mirror yourself after something, you know, being successful, we're proud to be out there and beating those streets, you know, and talking to people, you know, and the people are just talking about, you know, every team that I talked to, hey, I heard about it. You know, Artie Ray and Scott Topper from Smoke Show, and those guys have worked endlessly to help us make this a successful event. And they come in with, you know, they have the bricks and sticks, and they come in there and they help us do all the judging. They have their programs all set up. They get all the judges for us. They do a phenomenal job for us. And so we're very, you know, glad to have them on board. And through talking to people, these, you know, I'll tell you, if we get half the teams to say that they want to be a part of this, to enter this year, to be honest with you, I think we're going to have to cap it. And, you know, we never thought we'd be able to say that at a second-year event. But, you know, it's one of those things. We want to grow Winging It to be, as you know, one of the best in the premier festival in Central Florida. But we want to be able to grow with our teams. In other words, we don't want to have 50 teams, 60 teams out there and have 35 or 40 teams worth of attendance to purchase stuff from the vendors, because we don't want those guys to go home with coolers full of food. We want them to be able to sell out and be happy, and they'll be back. You know, and that's our goal.
That is no, and I think that's smart, because you want to take care of the community, and as attendance grows, you want to have more teams out there vending.
Absolutely.
So no, I definitely agree and understand with that, and I think that's a smart way to handle it.
Yeah.
One of the questions actually in chat right now is and I think this will lead to that. Let's talk a little bit about the entertainment. I know you guys have invested in the entertainment to obviously increase attendance, which means more people buying stuff, which means more money for the cook teams and the charity. We don't have to have exact stage times or anything like that, but kind of a Friday night, Saturday night thing, because a couple of the teams in chat are asking how late can they sell on Saturday.
Well, that brings up, you know, a very good point. We have invested, you know, kind of our hook line or our slogan for Winging It is Wings, Bands, and Brew, because we truly believe that if you have good wings, good food, you know, cold beer, and excellent entertainment, we think it's going to bring the people, and it showed, you know, to be true last year. Now, we bring in a professional soundstage that's actually sponsored by Boots and Buckles. They, you know, John Rush, Johnny Baxter over there have been great to us, absolutely phenomenal. And we get the best entertainment that we possibly can while kind of keep, you know, staying on that budget, you know, that we have to make sure we're not losing money as well. But to give you a little bit of a rundown on the stage, we have to be honest with you, both days are starting out early. There's going to be a group called Plaid and Pearl, and they're local, two local kids around here that now have a full band. And I'll tell you what, they were out there last year's The Truants, and they did a phenomenal job. And actually, we brought them back because of the requests that we had by other people to bring them back and allow them to grow with our festival. So they're going to play a little earlier in the day, but, you know, everybody's got to kind of earn the right to play a little bit later and be that headliner. But their cousin Madison Alexis, she has an EP out. She's on iTunes. She's actually going to fly in from Texas and do the set with them. We have T. Michael Stavers and Duke Burr. They play a lot of local stuff around here. They're going to be on Friday as well. Then we have a big treat on Friday at 7 o'clock. We have called Soul to Earth, and they played down there at Smoke on the Water. Let me tell you something. If you like a good time and you like some upbeat music and something to dance to while you're eating that wing and drinking that cold beer or beverage, then you should be out there for that.
Shannon, and, do you have Soul to Earth scheduled from 7 to midnight? Because those guys have never hit us. I've cooked Smoke on the Water for 6 years, and those guys have never came within 15 minutes of their stop.
Well, I'll tell you, and that was one thing. Rick Smith at Rick's Barbecue was telling us that as well. You know, he's actually hooked that up for us. A good guy that's really, you know, bought into both, you know, the Boys and Girls Club as well as Bryce's buddies. And he's taking care of that band. And I told him, he told me the same thing. And I said, Rick, listen to me. They got 90 minutes and I got to get them off, because I got load in, load out on the stage to get our last band on there, our headliner on Friday night. So, yeah, they're going
to. I wish you'd asked me first, because what I would have told you was tell Soul to Earth they got 60 minutes.
And they push it to 90 if we're lucky.
And they'd have been out in 85, and you'd have been five minutes to the good.
Absolutely. But, no, they're a bunch of good guys. They're going to be there. You know, Friday, our headliner act, it's still up in the air with the committee. We were actually looking, and I don't know if this is just my wife and I, our youth, and the way we were brought up and stuff like that, but we're trying to have Friday night kind of be that upbeat music type, you know, maybe pop, not really a pop, but a rock and roll type thing. So we were trying to get this Journey tribute band out of West Palm Beach, and I'll tell you, I just think, at 9 o'clock on a Friday night where everybody's had a couple beers and there's wings flowing and everything, to hear this group, they're called Odyssey Road out of West Palm, and, you know, they have a full tour bus and everything. Their tour last year took them all the way up through Montana and Canada and back down through Virginia and stuff like that. So they're the real deal, and we're looking at getting them. They're a little more, you know, expensive than what our budget is, but we're kind of leaning that way, so that's just kind of still up in the air for Friday night on the headliner on Friday. Rolling into Saturday, I'll tell you what, if you like good country music and you like some of the local acts, even national acts, you're going to like our lineup on Friday. Again, Plaid and Pearl's going to come in, start things off. We got a band right after them called Red Hot Rooster that were out there last year. They play a lot of the old country. If you like stuff like Conway Twitty and that type of stuff, you're gonna love them. They play a lot of the old country stuff. Then we roll right into 3 o'clock. We roll into Clemens Road, and Clemens Road, they're actually out of Plant City, and they have a large following out of that Tampa area. And when we booked our bands this year, we kind of looked geographically about who was going to pull some people in for us.
Sure.
To be honest with you, you know, because more people there, our teams are going to be happier. We're going to make a little more money, and everybody's going to have a better time. So we got Clemens Road, and they actually won the Florida State championship or finals, whatever they call it, for the Texaco Country Showdown. That was at Boots and Buckles. So they went to the national level on that, and unfortunately they didn't make it any further than that. But I'll tell you, to be voted as one of the best country bands that's unsigned in the state of Florida is a big feat.
Because there's a ton of them going around playing, little honky tonks every weekend, just even here in this state.
Absolutely.
That's a heck of an honor.
So Clemens Road, and they actually headlined out there on, I believe it was Friday night, out of Pig Fest on their main stage. They headlined out there. So if people went out there and had a good time out there, they definitely want to be at Winging It at 3 o'clock. They go on. Right after them, we have the Greg Warren Band. Greg Warren Band now headlines a lot of stuff over at House of Blues there in downtown Disney. They have a big following up in the Lake County, Orlando area, so we're drawing some people from over there as well. Very good, very good, solid group that's going to be there. And then we have Jill's Cashbox come on, a local favorite that I'll tell you, if they – to me, I tell my buddy Hunter Smith this. I said, I wish you guys didn't have as much responsibility as you do around here with your families and full-time jobs, because I truly believe if they moved to Nashville, they would be the next huge group. And they're just phenomenal. Jill's Cashbox will be at 7. And then our headliner coming on at 9 o'clock is Michael Ray. And everybody knows Michael's done a great, great job this year. And Sarah Michaels has, helped him, kind of getting where he is. And and he's now signed up there in Nashville. He won the Next, which is kind of a, singing competition, somewhat along the lines of American Idol, just a little bit smaller. And went out there, and he won the Orlando spot on that. They flew him out to L.A., and he ended up winning the whole kit and caboodle, so he got himself a Nashville recording contract, and we're very excited to have him in, and he is going to pull a lot of people in.
I'll tell you what, just based on that lineup, if you did conservatively 7,500 last year, I guess I think your hosts are around 12 to 15 this year.
Yeah, and that's our goal. When talking to all of our sponsors and stuff like that, that's our number one thing. How many people are going to be out there? How many people are going to see my logo? And just as in last year, we told them, we said, look, if we get 5,000 people out there, we'll be happy. To us, that will have been a successful, inaugural year for our festival. And so, we try to be realistic with our sponsors, and that's the number we come up with was 12,000. If we can climb to 12,000 this year, anything over that, again, is just kind of gravy. And we think 12,000 people for a second-year event is absolutely phenomenal, and we will be happy with that every day of the week.
Question for you, and thinking about like all these acts that you have coming through there, How do you handle, because I know usually each year we do some cooking for Frank for the green room for the artist. How'd you handle that last year?
Well, last year, to be honest with you, with it being a first-year event and the entertainment wasn't quite, you know, other than we had Patrick Gibson that headlined on Friday and Jill's Cashbox on Saturday. Essentially what we did was we pointed them out and said, okay, this is the crew. If they want beer or whatever, you make sure to take care of them. And then we did Hot Shots. I know I cooked up some wings for them, had them back there and stuff like that. But this year we are going to be setting up a tent behind the stage. It's going to be like a green room. Well, and we're still in the process of figuring that out.
A little offer I'd like to make. I want to come cook the contest, but I don't want to vend.
Okay.
So I just don't like vending. But I've got a local meat sponsor here that I'm sure would donate whatever meat we needed for the green room. And I would, in trade off for not vending, I would have no problem at all cooking whatever green room food you needed.
Wow.
While we were out there, since we weren't vending, take it off your plate between me and Nicole, and if Jared can come out and then we can handle that. But it was just one of the things I was thinking as I was talking. I was like, okay, all right, if I don't really want to vend, how can I help Shannon out? So maybe we can talk about that offline and see if maybe that'll help offset the hatred of vending that we have.
We appreciate it.
There is nothing against vending. It's just, it's not one of my MOs, and my lovely wife Nicole is no longer a fan of it, and I'm really glad she's not. So I don't have to have.
Well, I think she was kind of twisting your arm there for a little while, right?
No, yeah, she had to twist my arm for us to do it. Yeah,
exactly,
sure.
Exactly. Well, we'll just blame it on her then. I'll get in trouble at work for that.
I'm gonna need you to go easy on her because I hear she did a little shift swap, so. I think she's going to be under your direction on Thursday.
Yeah, I'll tell you, and she picked a heck of a day because we got monthly cleanup to do and everything else at the fire department. So she's picked a great day to come in there. Now we'll take care of her. We love her up there. She does a great job, and I'll tell you, we're thrilled to have her up there at Winter Haven Fire Department, no doubt.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad to hear that. I know there ain't nowhere else she'd rather be, so that's cool.
Awesome.
And talking about that, Shannon, how are you looking on teams right now? How many teams you got signed up?
Well, right now, as we know, teams seem to be the last thing that fill. It happened last year, and it's kind of happening this year. You know, everybody wants to know exactly when, where, and why they need to be. And a lot of times, it, you know, depends on how they've done in the previous contest, you know, what the money flow and stuff like that's looking like. So as of now, I think we have a solid 20 teams committed. We're looking to get to probably about 35, 40 max and go from there. One thing that, you know, I talked to Brandy about and that we did want to offer for tonight is that if the teams will go on and find us on Facebook, and it's Winging It Festival. It's just, there's no G on the winging. It's Winging It Festival. If you find us on there and like our Facebook page, send us a little inbox message on there and tell us that you're interested. And when your stuff comes through in your application, you know, take off $25 off the entrance fee and just kind of, you know, our thanks to you for letting us come on there and, you know, to be honest with you, try to get these last few team positions filled up. So they can take $25 off the registration fee, or if they'd like, we'll give them the extra 20 by 20 space. All of our spaces come 20 by 20, and it's $25 to go 20 by 40. So if they'd rather have the extra space, then we just won't charge them for that.
Excellent. So and what's the registration fee?
The registration fee for the restaurant division is $225. That includes electric and water. And the non-restaurant division is $125, and that also includes electric and water.
And I want to say, I mean, last year, I mean, for that low an entry fee, you still had nice payouts. I mean, you probably had a couple $1,000 worth of prize money across the two divisions, didn't you?
That is correct. We did. And again, that's another thing that we talked about this year. You know, I talked to Artie and Scott about this, and I said, you know, I hate leaving the payouts the same this year. We want to bump it up a little bit each year, but I'm just, you know, a little skeptical. We don't want to, you know, go on the negative on it, but also at the same time, we're not looking to make money off the entry fees of the teams.
Right.
You know what I mean? We hear a lot of negative stuff about that, about, hey, you know, they're getting several $1,000s, but they're only paying out, you know, 25% of that back to the teams. You know, we don't want to get in the business of that. You know, if we make a few dollars for administrative things, and that's fine. But overall, you know, we want to try to pay back as much as we that entry fee from all of our teams as possible. So if we can get to at least the 35-team limit, we're going to double the first-place prize, the grand champion prize, and both of them from $500 to $1,000 for both the restaurant and non-restaurant division.
Excellent. No, that is great. And the three categories are dry, wet, and open, right?
That is correct. Your wet is your traditional Buffalo style. It can be a mild, medium, or hot. Obviously not too hot that it can't be judged or else it'll be disqualified. I mean, we have to use a little bit of
discretion there. Yeah.
Yeah, discretion, definitely. And then it is a dry rub is the second one. And then the open division is essentially a run what you brung. Take a chicken wing, and we have it defined in the rules and regulations what a chicken wing is, essentially the drummer, the flapper of the drumstick, and be creative. And do what you can to win the division. And, you know, all of our judges, they go in, we talk to them. It's not as much of a science as it is with the barbecue. You know, it's an easy cook weekend for the teams and a fun cook weekend for the teams. And, you know, that's what we're looking for. And when those wings get turned in, essentially they get judged by the consistency of the wing. Is it too rubbery? Is it so hard that you can't hardly bite into it? Or is it, you know, crispy but juicy on the inside? And then the other thing is strictly the flavor. We want to know who has the best wings around.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree with you. That's the whole key to the weekend, right?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. To come out, you know, support Bryce's buddies, you know, hopefully we can make a few dollars, you know, to help these families out. And at the same time, you know, we want our teams to come out and have a good time, be able to laugh. And, you know, we know how hard and tirelessly y'all work at these barbecue festivals. We totally get it. So for you to be able to come out and say, hey, listen, we have wings to turn in, and 30 minutes prior to turn in, that's when you start cooking your first competition party. You know what I mean?
No,
it's 30 minutes out.
It's a fun weekend. I mean, obviously all of our competitive juices will be flowing.
Sure.
But because of that, like you said, because it's not a 16-hour pork or a 16-hour brisket that you're wondering if it's ever going to get done or not or before it dries out, you know, there's not nearly that stress, you know, and so no, I completely understand that. So and I think it's fun. I can't wait to come out and be a part of it, and hopefully our application will be in this week. I actually put it on my to-do list for tomorrow to actually get it printed off and sent in to you guys. We're looking forward to it, and I appreciate you coming on the show and telling folks about it tonight. The other thing I want to hit for you is for you guys that want to go out there and register right now. You can go out there to Wingin, drop the G, like Shannon said, itfestival.com. And right there, you can go to, you know, you can go there to the entries and go ahead and get your PDF printed off, get it sent in, and you'll be good to go from there.
Yep, absolutely.
And I will tell you, for a contest, they do a great job. I'm thinking I have to give Brady credit for this, Shannon, no offense. They do a great job of keeping the Facebook page updated. So you do want to go over to Wingin' It Festival on Facebook and like them because they do a great job as teams sign up, as recording acts get booked, as things change. It's almost up to the minute.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. And also, you know, a couple things we didn't mention or failed to mention, if I got just a couple seconds here, is we do have an extended kids zone. So, you know, for the teams that are going to have their kids out there and stuff like that, there's going to be plenty for them to do as well. We're looking at having a rather large zip line that's going to be coming in as well in the kids zone this year. So that's exciting. We try to keep that pretty interactive with the kids, because if the kids are having fun and playing, it leaves mom and dad more time to eat all that food. And, you know, and they're going to stick around a little bit longer. So, you know, we're definitely doing that. And probably one of the most important things that we've gotten into now with Laura Donnelly and with Sarah Mike, Michaels and my wife Brandy, and I'll tell you, there are several people on board with this, and I'm sure most of you have heard about it, is McKenzie's Crusade with McKenzie Clayton. And we will have the Be the Match bus is going to be out there winging it, swabbing people. It's painless. They swab your mouth, and essentially we're trying to find this little girl a bone marrow match. And so if you come out to Wingin' It Festival, whether you're competing or whether you're just coming out to have a good time, please stop by that Be the Match bus. You don't know if you're going to be able to save this little girl's life or some other person's life, you know, within the registry.
Awesome. That is great, Shannon. I think you guys have taken a couple of great causes, wrapped it around just a real, real fun weekend. And I got to think Bernie Little and Budweiser got to be very supportive of you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny that you say that because we found out last year during a first-year event like that that we had a really hard time finding sponsors, to be quite honest with you. And now this year we have almost tripled already our sponsorships that we had all of last year. And it's nice to have somebody call you up and leave you a message and say, hey, can you come in and bring me a W-9 and fill out some information for us because we'd like to sponsor you. You know, we got that call from Aaron's Rentals, and we hadn't even approached them. And for them, you know, when we get there and they say, hey, we're doing this because we believe in what you guys are doing and because you guys ran such a great event last year that everybody's talking about it.
No, and that's great. And when you get the in this community, when you get the Bernie Littles and those guys on board, it makes the other folks perk up and pay attention.
Sure, you know, it really does add a little bit of validity to your event whenever you have the Bernie Littles, the Publix, the, you know, the Bright House Networks. You know, they've sponsored us now 2 years in a row. You know, so we're extremely pleased. You know, with what we're getting. You know, with that being said, don't get me wrong. If there's anybody listening out there would like to be able to sponsor an event that is going to grow and get you quite a bit of visibility out there, and that's what we do. We try to make sure that we put our sponsors out there because without them, we're not going to have this festival and everybody's not going to have a good time, to be honest with you. So if anybody's looking to sponsor, by gosh, they can go on wingingitfestival.com and all that's on there as well.
Excellent.
Figure I throw that out there.
Well, Shannon, thanks so much for coming on and sharing the event with us in the background. Great story, great event, and definitely want to encourage everybody. April 5th and 6th, Winter Haven Airport, Winging It Festival. If you can't come cook it, at least come hang out and be a part of it. You know, great cause, and it sounds like it's just going to be a really, really good time. So, if there's anything we can do from here out, Shannon, let us know. We're definitely big fans and want to help out in whatever way we can.
Chad, I appreciate it.
All righty, sir. Will you take care and have a great evening?
All right, you too.
All right, guys.
Bye-bye.
Shannon Duncan, Winging It Festival. I'll tell you what, if you're in this area and you want to cook something cool, neat, I mean, I'm as jazzed up, if not more, for it than I am a barbecue contest because you're going to get to relax, going to listen to some great music, going to cook some wings. You know, and just do something a little bit different, but still keep those competitive juices flowing. So I think it's the perfect mix for any barbecue and griller. And for any of you guys that are out there that have never cooked a barbecue contest and you want to get the feel of it, man, what a great start. You go out there with something you're super familiar with, wings, and you get to play around a little bit. So go check it out, wingingitfestival.com or over on Facebook, Winging It Festival. We ran a little bit late. I'm going to Jeff Campbell here in just a second, but I got to take 30 seconds to tell you about my buddy Craig Sherry over at Texas Pepper Jelly. If you're not using rib candy or you're not using Craig's Pepper Jelly, and if you're not using both, you're probably missing out. That pepper jelly, he's got a myriad of flavors, and any of them cut in real nice to help you give that little bit of differentiation to your barbecue sauce that others don't have. Whether it be a cherry habanero, a peach habanero, apple habanero, there's a couple different ones we like. That apple habanero cut in with a good sauce on some chicken really kind of adds another layer of flavor. It's the pepper jellies are great. The rib candy, if you're a little leery of the pepper jelly, you want a little bit of a learning curve, go get some, play around with it. But that rib candy, don't keep looking at it and keep thinking about it. Go over to TexasPepperJelly.com and get you some. My two favorites, apple cinnamon and pineapple habanero. Great on chicken, great on ribs, great on pork butt. As we were trying to rescue our brisket in Winter Haven a couple weeks ago, cut a little bit of pineapple habanero into our au jus. We're really, really surprised with the flavor. But, you know, finished fifth and helped us get the win that we've been needing. So go check it out. TexasPepperJelly.com, Craig Sherry, great guy, great products. He's always going to take care of you. That being said, Jeff Campbell, Wicked Q. Jeff, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Chad, how are you? Congratulations on your win the other week.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. And
that's
the funny little tiny story to what we're going to talk about here in a second. But let me congratulate you first. You beat me to the punch, but RGC at Lakeland Pig Festival, that's a big deal, especially to kick off the year. 70-plus teams, some of the best teams in the country, Three Eyes, Chick Swine and Bovine, Swamp Boys, Everglades Seasoning, that has really just owned that contest. To come down here and take RGC, it had to be one of those quick drives back to Georgia on Saturday evening, Sunday. You had to be pretty excited, weren't you?
Oh, I was extremely excited and just very surprised. I was sitting there next to the KCBS rep waiting for them to hurry up and announce the reserve and grand so I could get my sheet and just at least get a little ways down the road. So when I heard Wicked Q for reserve, just completely shocked and very excited. And it made that drive home, that 8 hours, much shorter and very pleased.
And what calls had you had leading up to that, Jeff?
That was a surprise. I had a second place ribs was my only call.
Right.
And I was thinking there were a couple other teams, actually three other teams. I know one had three calls and two of the other teams had at least two calls. So, you know, I was thinking when they called me, I said, well, I must have had several 11th place finishes. And, turns out I had two 11ths and a 21st. So, yeah, that's what made it a complete shock to me.
Dude, I've always told people in fields of that size that are that good, consistency wins.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it also helps to have Everglades and Rub, yourself, Gitter Smoked, and some other people vending, so you're a little distracted.
That's true.
That always helps me, too.
So,
it was a good time.
Absolutely. So one of the things that weekend, and I appreciated the generosity, you brought over a bag of charcoal for me.
Yeah.
Little sugar maple. Which I, you know, me and you had talked in the past, and I'd said, man, I've never tried this stuff, but I'm already a fan of it just from what Danielle Demasi Diva Q had told me about it, because, you know, she's cooked with it up in Canada for years. And I'm going to tell you, between your endorsement and hers, I did not test that charcoal until we got the next weekend over to Winter Haven. And I was sitting around, and I looked at that Kingsford, and I looked at that Basque, and I was like, man, sugar maple. Sounds really good, man. You know, I pulled some out of the bag, smelt it, didn't taste it, smelt it, looked at it. I was like, man, these are all nice pieces. I think they'll do great in the gravity-fed Southern bread. I was like, you know what, man, we're just going to run it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fantastic charcoal.
And we didn't run any wood, anything. I took that and I would dump myself a full pan just to make sure there was no big pieces. Dump it in the chute. Dump it full, you know. And I'll tell you what, to fill up the chute, which took 3/4 of the bag. But
yeah.
I didn't run into one big chunk I had to pull out. It was all pieces of lump that I did not feel like would bridge a gravity cooker, which is a big deal. You don't go just bailing off throwing Publix Greenwise or Royal Oak into your gravity fed, because if you do that, you're going to wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning with a real bad situation on your hands.
Yeah, no doubt. I've never had the issue with bridging, and I use the stumps stretch, so I'm using the gravity feed. You know,
yep.
Also, that's always a concern when you're using a gravity feed is, you know, you fall asleep and your smoker bridges, and you know, it's cold when you get up. But no, it burns really well, and you don't use that much. You know, I've never used a whole bag at a contest.
No. We didn't either. We cooked all four. We cooked three of the four categories. We cooked our chicken on our pellet cooker,
okay.
And when we shut it off and closed it up, we still had probably a quarter to a fifth of a chute left.
Yeah. Okay.
And I still had probably 4 pounds in the bag.
Yeah, that's not what I'm using. At the most, I'll use 3/4 of a bag.
Yep.
You know, and that's maybe if it's really cold outside.
Yeah, that's about where I was at. And I let it run probably an hour longer, hour and a half longer than it needed to for the contest.
Yeah, okay. You know, it's just a great sugar maple charcoal out of Canada that, you know, that sugar maple, it's a lot more milder smell compared to a lot of the hickory and oak blends, which are typical of the American smoked charcoals. So I think that's one thing, you know, you can use it by yourself, as obviously you proved, you know, here 2 weeks ago. And I typically add a couple wood chunks into my ash pan, but I like the more mellow flavor of it, because if you want to make it stronger or take it a different direction, you can add some wood chips, but you definitely don't have to.
Well, and what I loved about it was, you know, the daggum smoke ring we got. You know, and our butts cook a little bit quicker than they usually do. But, man, those money muscles had beautiful quarter to half inch smoke rings that were just phenomenally. I mean, they just looked beautiful, you know?
Yeah, and you probably don't get that with a regular charcoal.
No, you definitely don't. That was the things that I noticed was I was surprised in cooking with it with no supplemental wood that I still got that smoked flavor that you're going for when you cook on a gravity fed. But it was not overpowering. It was very complimentary. And then the smoke ring just wowed the hell out of me. I was like, geez, oh, Pete, that is beautiful.
Yeah, and here in a couple of days, we'll have a lot more down there in Florida as we're getting it into that just grilling over in the Tampa area.
So yeah, and I think they're going to be super happy with it. I'm so glad it's going there. I mean, I do a monthly cooking class there, and that'll be all that I cook on because – I Danielle had beat me over the head with it about how good it was. I just needed to, you know, get off my butt and get some. And I'm like, you can't get lazy. You're like, oh, it's all the way up in Canada, and, you know, I got to worry about it getting over here. And then me and you talked the first time you came on the show, and you're like, hey, I kind of got this thing going on. I was like, well, man, when you make it down to Lakeland, I sure would love to try it. And I'm sold on it now, man. Done.
Well, I'll get you some of it. I'm also coming down if you swing over in March to the Hearth and Patio show in Orlando. We'll have it there.
When you gave me those dates, I'm definitely gonna come. I think it would just be cool to walk to start with, and seeing that I know a guy that's gonna be there with a product that I think's out of this world, I will definitely get by there for at least one day.
Yeah, definitely swing by. Love to see you and introduce you to the guys who make the charcoal.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. So for folks that are – so obviously we talked kind of about here in the Florida area. You know, we're going to have it available at Just Grilling over in Tampa. You know, obviously you're looking for dealers right now, right, Jeff?
Yeah, that's correct. Just Grilling's the first one for us in Florida. We've got quite a few in South Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama. So finally getting into Florida. So, if anyone listening or yourself – know of any other stores that think might be interested in carrying a high-end lump charcoal, you know, just give me a call or contact you, and you can give them my number. But
absolutely.
Either wickedu.net is where you can contact me through, or find me on Facebook.
And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I've tried Wicked Good. I've tried Big Green Egg Lump. All the high-end lumps out there, I've cooked with. And this one is because – I took the rest of what I had, and I grilled me and the wife steaks on Sunday after the contest.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a phenomenal grilling charcoal.
Yeah, and one, there's a couple things that are nice about it. One, it comes out of Canada, and it's, you know, all sugar maple, which makes it unique compared to the American charcoals, as we mentioned. And when they make their charcoal, there's two ways to make it. Once you burn it and it reaches a certain carbon point, then you've got to extinguish the fire to keep it, you know, from burning up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two ways to do that. One way is to spray all the lump charcoal you just made with water to cool it down for it to stop cooking. And the other way is to close off the kiln and, you know, choke off the oxygen supply so it also burns out quickly that way. When you do it that way, it takes about 24 hours for that wood to cool down versus spraying it with water. And what that does is you have a much lower moisture content in the lump charcoal. That's from Bass Charcoal, the Nature's Own. Compared to some of the larger companies that sell a lot of lump charcoal that's, you know, in all the big box stores and such, they'll use water because it allows you to do more turns through the kiln, make more charcoal faster. But as a result, you have a higher moisture content. And it could cause it to, you know, not light as fast or not burn quite as cleanly. So it's a it's a better way to make charcoal, but it's also more expensive because you can't make it as fast.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So you have to give up quantity for quality.
Correct. Yeah, and also this charcoal, it's got two certifications on the bag. One's the Rainforest Alliance, and the other one is the Forest Stewardship Council. I'm not a big environmentalist. I'm not pulling my smoke with a Prius or anything, but if there's little things we can do to help out, I think that's good. There's no trees that are expressly cut to make this charcoal. All of the logs, all these are logs and limbs that don't meet lumber specs. So, and they use those off pieces, if you will, of logs to make the charcoal. And then any of the actual trees that were cut down are being replaced with other trees. So it's kind of a zero effect. So they're not clear cutting any land to make charcoal. Some of the stuff coming out of South America, you have to be a little bit more leery of their practices on how they make the charcoal.
So, yeah. Are they just eliminating small villages?
Yeah.
To meet demand.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, they don't have the, the regulations that we have in the United States and in Canada to make sure we're doing things properly, I guess you can say. So, and that's a couple, important differences between, one of how it's made and the practices of how they make it. You can feel good about buying it, I guess.
But at the same time, it's hand in hand. People that are going to be socially conscious like that are gonna do the right thing when making a product. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of one of those things that when you see people going to a step like that, you're like, all right, somebody I want to do business with, someone that's worried about quality and not just margin.
Oh yeah, I mean it's the highest quality, but also if anyone out there that's buying Big Green Egg charcoal or Wicked Good charcoal and some of the others that are that you see in a lot of the stores, that sell Big Green Eggs or other ceramic cookers, we're at the same price point those guys are. So, why not get it? It's not more expensive. We're not asking you to pay a premium over these other charcoals. You're getting a better charcoal, better for the environment. You're not promoting charcoal that's from some South American country that, you don't know what they're doing. So,
right. If you're going to support a foreign country, at least keep it in the same body of land.
Yeah, support the hosers up in Canada,
Exactly, eh?
Hey, yeah, but no, we've been distributing. We bring it in by the container load into Watkinsville, Georgia, where I live, and we sell it by the pallet to other stores, and we're looking for more retailers in Florida, Tennessee, and North Carolina are two other states we're looking to expand into.
And I'm going to tell you guys right now, you're not going to be disappointed with this. So your grill store that you go into every week or every other week, stop off and talk to them. If they're carrying those products, if you see them carrying a high-end charcoal like a Green Egg or like a Wicked Good, get them our information. Either myself or Jeff, you can catch Jeff over at wickedq.net. You guys know how to get a hold of me. I'm pretty accessible. But just, have them reach out, and I'll get them. If you reach out to me, I'll get them in touch with Jeff, and Jeff can let them know, because this is a great product. This is something you want to be a part of. I think you guys always know I've never led you astray. I've never talked about a product on this show and endorsed a product on this show that hasn't produced results. So please let us know. Get a hold of us, and I think your grill store will appreciate it, because they're going to see great increase in sales. And you're going to have it right there in your backyard, and you can go pick up a bag whenever you need it.
Yeah, no doubt. If you see me at a contest, come by. I usually have a few extra bags, and if I have an extra bag, I'll give you a bag to try and see for yourself out there.
No, dude, hey, I'll tell you what, you created a customer with life with that free bag with me. but it's one of those things. I mean, I've always been a firm believer in that. If you really believe in something, you got to put it in people's hands.
Yeah, definitely. And each store that we've put it in, it's become the number one selling charcoal of that store. So, and we've not had a store not reorder. So I think that says something there.
No, absolutely. So a couple things, Jeff. We got 5 or 6 minutes left. When are you going to be out cooking again?
I am actually going over to Augusta, Georgia this weekend for, I think it's a Southern Barbecue Network contest.
Okay.
It's actually a distributor of my charcoal and some of my, he also buys some of my Wicked Q spices. He's putting it on. It's Fireside Outdoor Kitchens and Grills. It's the Wine and Dine Festival, and it's actually going to be a fun little contest. They provide the meat. It's ribs and pork butts. And, you know, normal turn-in times, there's no garnish, so similar to FBA. And it's only a couple hours from home, so I'm going to use it as an opportunity to take a new smoker and trailer that I built to give that a run and see what it does.
So did you build the trailer and the smoker, or just the trailer around the smoker?
The trailer and the smoker.
Really? So an offset?
Yeah, it's an offset smoker. You know, it looks somewhat similar to a gear pit. I built it with an insulated firebox, and then the trailer is, yeah, I guess it looks somewhat like a gear pit. It's actually an old trailer that I was my original trailer when I got started 7 years ago that I cut the smoker that this other smoker that I built off of it, and then we built this, you know, offset style smoker, and then there's also a place for an extra large Big Green Egg on it and a cooler. So, and some storage boxes along the front.
Oh, nice.
It's my new toy. I guess
you got a little setup there. What are you noticing about the burn times in an insulated like that?
That's what I haven't played with it too much. I'm looking forward to this weekend. I'd really like to figure out a way to try to get it to burn 3 hours without having to, you know, feed a log to it. So I'm playing this weekend. I built a fire maze to go in the firebox, and I'm going to fill that up with charcoal and just see if I can get it to burn on charcoal and put some wood chunks on top of the charcoal and see what it does.
Yeah.
I tried it here, and it went at least an hour and a half, I'd say almost 2 hours like that, and because I really like getting my sleep. That's why I like my stumps so much.
Absolutely.
Along with the quality of the product off of it. But, it was just one of those things that I thought, and I had this trailer sitting around, I thought, well, I can just modify this and build a new smoker on here, an offset. I've never owned an offset smoker, so I thought it'd just be kind of fun to do. And I also bought it to do some Big Green Egg cooking classes. I've got a few dealers in this area that I teach classes at, so it'll be easier to pull this trailer around than my cargo trailer. So I'll be using it for two things. If I do well this weekend with it, I may use it for, you know, some of the other contests I do later in the year. But we'll see how it goes first.
I think it sounds cool. I mean, we're always guys that are tinkering. You know, I mean, you always want to, you know, try something different, or, you know, see does this bring something to the table that, you know, something else doesn't. So I think that's pretty cool to go out and take some things that you had and build something and, you know, see how it works. So I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to use it. We put a few little tricks in the smoker, very unique intake system, and the racks, you can kind of pull the racks out and they support themselves. Just a lot of cool little tricks on it. I'm looking forward to, you know, playing with it and see how it does in a competition. I may take it after this weekend, and my next, bigger contest will be a KCB Best event down in Pensacola first weekend in March.
Oh, you cook in Pensacola?
Yes.
I'll be there, man.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I may pull it down there. I probably will pull it down there. I kind of like to take this one to contests that are, you know, a long drive. It'll be easier to pull than a big trailer.
And that's what we're doing. We've got a Southern Bread that's a little bit bigger than the one you saw me cooking on at Lakeland.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's on a nice trailer. We got a sink on it, a cutting board on it. So we're gonna pull it up to Pensacola because it's about an 8 hour drive for us. We're gonna pull it up there and just cook on it with a couple of pop up tents and make the best of it. So I'm glad to hear you're going to be up there. Yeah, we had been trying to make room for it, and that weekend was blocked, but then it opened up, and so I called Ivan. I was like, dude, I know you're full. He's like, you only need 20 by 20? I was like, yeah. He's like, you're in. Send me an app and a check.
Yeah, cool. It's a fun event. I missed it for the first year last year, but I did it the previous 2 years they had it. And I just really like the setting down there. Ivan does a good job organizing it. And there's a great little Acme Oyster Bar just a couple blocks away from the contest.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time in itself. And I think White's going to come up, and then my partner in Southern Bred Smokers, Adam, we're going to go up together. And my sister-in-law plays softball up there for University of West Florida. So it'll just be a fun weekend.
Oh, cool. Are you going to be up there Thursday evening or Friday?
It's probably going to be Friday. It depends. I think Adam may be pulling the rig up, and I'm going to fly into Pensacola maybe Thursday because
okay.
I'm traveling for work all week. So I've got to kind of finalize that travel, but hopefully I can get into Pensacola Airport on Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening.
Okay, sounds good. Maybe we'll find a beer.
Maybe we can find an oyster and a beer.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Hey, awesome, man. Well, Jeff, thanks so much for coming on the show tonight. And we will definitely catch up with you at the show here in January and March, or in Orlando in March. And we'll obviously, I guess, see you before then in Pensacola.
Yeah. See you that first weekend down in Pensacola. Should be a good time.
Sounds good, man. Well, thanks for coming on the show, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Chad. Enjoy.
All right, guys.
Okay.
All right, guys. Jeff Campbell with you. We talked a lot about the charcoal tonight, but there's many other options. Guys got a great brisket rub, great rib rub. If you go over there to wickedq.net, you can see Jeff's kind of total offering. Got a lot of good products. Great guy. One of those folks that if you got a question about his product, call him up. And boom, he's going to talk to you about it. He's going to tell you what he's done with it, how it can help, those type of things. One last sponsor I want to throw out there, Cosmo Darien over at Cosmos. You got to be using that pork injection, pork soak, chicken soak, and brisket injection. That's the four that we use week in and week out. A couple of rubs over there that I don't like to publicize that we've done all right with. He's got a Dirty Bird rub, and that Killer Bee and the Killer Bee Chipotle are all three great, great rubs. So you want to check him out, cosmos.com. All right, guys, we're already starting to pack up the show for next week. Looks like it's going to be a fun one. Should be a good one. I appreciate you tuning in this week. And until next week, keep the pit lit.
Let her go, Chadwick. Turn up your radio. Build a whiskey and drink it down slow. It's Whiskey Bent in the pit. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't shit. Outlaw Barbecue Show. He's an all-night smoker, a cold beer holder. His spare ribs will blow your mind. And with his Cosmos Q and his Green Mountain Grills, he'll walk the stage every time. Turn on your radio, grab a beer, Chad's ready to go. It's Whiskey Ben in the pit all night, late night. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't right. Outlaw Barbecue Show. Whiskey Ben in the Pit Radio Show. Good for the egg shakes and saggy. Can I get a raise? Hell, come on. Woo.